You have to pardon me for my drinks down there this morning. I love the beauty of all of the pretty flowers on the trees, but they don't like my throat, especially the lilacs beside my house. And if it wasn't for the fact that it's my wife's favorite flower, I probably would just destroy the thing. But instead, I deal with this every year, so out of love for my wife. Couple of quick notes here. First of all, congratulations to Brooklyn. She was the prom queen for Mount Zion High School yesterday. But Jackson didn't get to be the king. So, also a couple of announcements for graduation. Christopher and Felina will be graduating next week. The 13th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 1 o'clock, excuse me. I saw 2000 and thought it was saying 2 o'clock, but it says 1 o'clock at St. Teresa's, so keep that in mind. And then they will be having a graduation party the following week on the 20th at the Forsyth Park Pavilion at 2 o'clock, and they're inviting people to come to that. But Tina would like you to RSVP to her. She's going to make it. So that will be out there somewhere when we're done. Also, Mount Zion's graduation is the 20th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and baccalaureate is tonight at 6 p.m. at Antioch Christian Church. So we've got several graduates to encourage. Also, I noticed that Mackenzie is home, and I know that there are several other college age students from our midst that are done with school for the year. So just as they transition to the summer, keep them in your prayers as well. Let's see, two other things. One, there is a box out there on the table, the Welcome Center. The sewing ladies who make quilts. I was told I wasn't supposed to say the quilting ladies because they didn't want you to be scared away by thinking they were always quilting. They're always making quilts, but they don't like hand quilt them. They take care of that other ways. So there is an antique quilt out there that they have restored, and they are just going to have a silent auction on that. I can't remember what they told me, but they're either it's going to help them ship their quilts to somewhere, or they were going to help the missions. I forgot which. So I apologize to them. If you want to know, you can ask Alicia. But that box is out there for the silent auction on that. And the last thing, just a praise. Misty's twins are doing well. Tina messaged me yesterday and said that Stefan has grown from 13 inches to 15 inches. So that is a praise. And then Santiago, is that right? Santiago has gone from 15 and a half inches to 17 inches. So both babies are growing, and that is a praise. So, and generally I don't bring my phone, but I wanted to get those numbers right. So now to change gears, and we're going to go to our sermon. We're continuing in the book of Acts and looking at the movement of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And when I was in math class many years ago, this was like when I was a freshman and a sophomore in high school, so that was a long time ago. And but one of my teachers, one of my math teachers, would make us show our work. And now, there's nothing unusual about that. If you've taken math class, you know that to do your work properly, you're supposed to show your work. But she did this for a particular reason. You see, as she would grade our papers, if we were incorrect on one of our answers, she would go and look at the work that we had shown. And if we could show that some of what we did was correct, she would give us partial credit for that answer. Instead of it just being completely wrong, she'd give us partial credit, and then she would show us where we were wrong, and then have us correct the work. her purpose in that was so that we would learn how to correct our own problems better, but also so that we would learn the functions, we would learn and it would ingrain within us the things that we were doing. And then she could also encourage us by showing us, you know, where we were right. And so I know that for her that took a lot of extra work. You know, it would have been just as easy to say, nope, that problem is wrong and go on, and that's probably what we deserved, but she showed us the grace and the mercy of giving us the opportunity to correct what we had done wrong. In our spiritual lives, there is the truth that we all make mistakes. All of us are, well, sinful. All of us make mistakes that keep us from living up to the standard that God has set for us. In the Scriptures, we are called to correct and to rebuke one another. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes things in our life are wrong and we need to know that we're wrong. We need somebody to come beside us and say, that's not the way to live. Those aren't the actions of somebody who is a follower of Christ. And we need to be rebuked. We need to be corrected when we're wrong. But we also need one other thing, and that is to be trained. You know, sometimes we're wrong simply because we're uninformed, and those times we need to be instructed. There are other times that we're wrong because we're in error, because we just aren't doing the right thing, and then we need to be shown the right path. But whatever the case, Acts chapter 18, Luke records for us, and Luke gives us an example of what this looks like within the body of Christ. So if you want to turn to Acts chapter 18 this morning, we will begin with verse 24, but you know, I've said we're following Paul and we're following the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. But in this particular case, Luke steps aside from the apostle Paul and he looks at some of Paul's associates. Because even though Luke is following Paul, the gospel message isn't just Paul's message. Because even though Luke is following Paul and showing us the work of Paul, it's not all about Paul. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about the church. And it's about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. And so we find these words in Acts 18. It says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And he wished to cross to Achaia. The brothers encouraged him and wrote the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." As we look at taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, we're called to correct and to encourage others. And so this morning, I just want us to see what that looks like from the pen of Luke. It begins by being able to identify the error. Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos speaking the gospel. That they heard him preaching to the Jews. They heard him confronting the Jews with the truth that Jesus was the Christ. But as they listened to him, as they heard him preach, they began to realize that there was something that wasn't complete in the message that he was sharing. It wasn't that he was purposely distorting the truth. Rather, it was the case that he simply was not completely informed. He had heard the message of Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was the Messiah or the Christ. But he had not heard about baptism. He had not heard about the teaching that we all need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Oh, he had heard about the baptism of John, that we should repent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, but he had not heard the message of Jesus that we are to be baptized into Jesus, into God, and into the Spirit, and that we then enter into the kingdom. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they were close enough that they could identify the truth. You see, to identify error, to identify the places where people are wrong, we need to be close enough to them that we can hear and we can know what they're teaching. Proximity allows us to hear and to see the error that people have in their teaching, in their understanding of the faith. And so Priscilla and Aquila were sitting there and they were listening and they heard the error. Proximity also allows us to be able to test the teachings. You know, sometimes when somebody is preaching, sometimes when somebody is teaching and you're listening, the fact that you are close enough to them to hear what they're teaching gives you the opportunity to test what they teach against the truth. Sometimes that error is pretty plain. And I imagine that as Apollos was teaching to Priscilla and Aquila, it was pretty obvious that he hasn't heard the complete message and he isn't teaching the complete message. There are other times when the error isn't quite so obvious. But the proximity, the closeness we have to someone else and to the Word of God, that proximity gives us the opportunity to test what they're teaching. To take the truth, or to take the Word that they're preaching, to take the words that they're teaching, and to say, does this line up with the Scriptures? And we can test and find the error. Proximity also allows us to determine, to some extent, the intent. Now, we don't always even know the intent of our own heart. Sometimes the things that we say, we don't realize the intent, but our heart has an intent. But when we hear somebody, when we see somebody preach, when we see somebody teach, when we read the words that somebody writes about the truth of God, we have the opportunity sometimes to determine their intent. Now, sometimes people are going to speak an untruth intentionally. They know what the truth is, but they're going to intentionally speak an untruth. That's not what we see in the teaching of Apollos. And it's not my intent ever to mislead you. Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes it's simply the fact that we say something wrong. We don't say things quite the way we meant, and so it comes off as an error. And if you sit with somebody, if you have the proximity to somebody and you hear them regularly, you can understand sometimes when there is an unintentional error. And sometimes the error comes because we're uninformed. And for Apollos was simply uninformed. He had never heard the complete message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He'd heard most of it. He'd heard a good portion of the meat of the gospel, but he missed one part. And Apollos, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they knew that it wasn't that he was trying to mislead people. It wasn't that he was making an unintentional mistake. It was simply that he was uninformed. You see, we can be right without being completely accurate. We can be right, but still be wrong. And that's where Apollos was. He was right, but he wasn't completely accurate. And this is why before I start my sermon, or in the beginning of my sermon, I tell you where I'm preaching from. This is why I ask you to open up your Bibles if you've got them. This is why we put Bibles in the pews and on the bottom of the chairs in front of you. This is why I encourage you to take the opportunity to look at the Scripture with me. Because sometimes we can be right without being completely accurate. And if you know where I'm preaching or where I'm teaching from, you have the opportunity to test and to listen for and to look for error. This is also the reason why we as a church have multiple elders, is so that we can keep each other accountable. Because there are times we have different opinions and different views, and sometimes one of us is in error, and we need to correct each other. And it helps keep us straight and on the path of truth. And this is the reason why I study, seriously study for the sermons that I'll preach and the lessons I'm going to teach. You see, some of the materials that I use, I agree with. And I choose those materials because I believe them to be very accurate. And there are other materials that I use that I believe have some great insight, but I don't agree with everything they teach. And I do that because it helps me to see some things that I might not otherwise see. And it calls me to question what I'm teaching and make sure to do the best that I can to bring the truth and to not be in error. But there are times when you may question that, and you need to know where we're from and where we're headed so that we can identify error. When Priscilla and Aquila identified the error in the teaching of Apollos, they corrected him. And we're called to correct one another. You see, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes in the way we live. We all make mistakes in the things we say. And we just need to learn to be able to correct one another. And so Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard the error of Apollos, they brought him privately. They didn't chastise him in public. They didn't get up in the middle of the synagogue and say, "Hold it there, Apollos. There's some things you need to know." Rather, they got in touch with him and they brought him into the privacy of their own home, and they explained to him and they taught him the meaning of the gospel, and they taught him about the baptism of Jesus. And we're called to do the same thing. In several places, Scripture tells us about this in a different way. In John chapter 20, in John chapter 20, verse 31, John says this. He says, "But these are written," the things in the gospel. He says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." We have to be able to teach the Scripture so that people know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be able to tell people about the truth that Jesus is the way. He is the life. There is no other name
Luke writes, he says, there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to be listening and know the truth so that we can correct error. That's part of the purpose of Scripture. In 1 John, the Apostle writes this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, Scripture is to teach us about salvation and to teach us about the life that God gives us. And we have to know that so that we can do what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So John says that the things that were written were so that we would know that Jesus was the Christ and we could find salvation in Him. And Paul says that as we know about that salvation, we are supposed to take the Scriptures, and when we find error, that we are to reprove and to correct, and that we are to teach and to train people in righteousness. You see, the purpose of the Scriptures is to show us that Jesus is the Messiah and to show us how to live. But when we know the Scripture and we see error, the Scriptures become our means of correction. That they are the way that we can teach other people about what is right. John Calvin famously likened the reading of the Bible to the wearing of spectacles to correct defective eyesight. And if that's the case, then sometimes we need an optometrist to change the correction on our spectacles so that we can see even better. How many of you who wear glasses wear the same prescription that you wore the first time that they put glasses on you? I do in one eye. The other eye has changed, but one eye is still the same. But sometimes you need to go to the optometrist just to make sure that the prescription is right. And the same thing is true with Scripture. And the same thing is true for people around us who can take us to the Scripture and they can show us where we're in error. One or two. Two or three. Three or four, you know the drill. Well, Scripture can be used the same way. When we take people to the Scriptures and we help them to understand what the error was and what the correct way is. And the Bible is there to help us teach us how to live. And the correction of error is best done in relationship. That's why Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos aside and they took him into their home is so that they could do it in the context of a relationship. We hear things better from those people who are close to us and those people with whom we have a relationship. That's why the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 27 verse 7, he says, that is not the verse I meant. You see, this is one of those places where I'm in error. And Brenna told me I should check these, and I did. I thought I checked this and checked it twice, and I even made sure I knew where I was going to read from. I marked it in my Bible at the right place. And this is so not the verse I wanted. So anyway, the writer of Proverbs somewhere in there says that the wounds of a friend hurt and the kiss of a stranger is, I don't know. Any other day I could quote the verse to you, but today I just, I'm lost. The wounds of a friend are healing. That's all I'm going to say. The wounds of a friend are healing. Because we generally accept critique most of all in person from a friend. So if a friend comes to you in private and they show you an error and they help show you the right way, that's where you're going to accept it best. After that, the second best way that we can correct a friend who's in error is in writing. The second way that we generally will accept critique is from a friend who puts it in writing and will share it with us that way. The third way that we accept correction or critique is from somebody who isn't a friend, but who will come to us in person. And so if I'm in error and somebody that isn't a friend, but somebody who sees that error comes to me, I will accept it better from them if they come in person than if they send it to me in writing. But that's the fourth way that we'll accept critique, is somebody who's willing to tell us who they are and put it in writing. We may not know them, we may not be close friends with them, but they're willing to sit down and willing to put in writing the places that were wrong, and we read that and we study that and we accept the critique. Seldom will we accept critique anonymously. Very, very seldom will we take a message from somebody that we don't know or somebody that isn't willing to tell us who they are and listen to it and accept that critique. And even less frequently will we accept the critique of an enemy. Though sometimes we will. But whatever the case, we are called as believers in Jesus Christ to listen to what people teach, and when we find error, to take them to the Scriptures and show them that error. And then we're called to support them in their work, to support them as they continue to proclaim the Word of God. After Priscilla and Aquila instructed Apollos, they then let him continue to teach there in Ephesus. But after a period of time, Apollos was ready to move on. And it says that the believers in Ephesus wrote letters of encouragement and wrote letters of recommendation for him. Sometimes we just need somebody that will stand behind us and say, we believe in them. And we will encourage them from a distance, and we will acknowledge that we stand behind them in what they teach. Because here's what I know. The knowledge and teaching that we get is not for us alone. We are to pass on what we have acquired and learned. So as I study the Scriptures, as I sit and listen to other people who teach about the Word of God, when I hear that, when I come into contact with the truth, I am supposed to let it change me, but I always have to remember that training and that teaching is not for me alone. And so there are things that I bring from the reading that I do. And so there are times when I'll tell you that so-and-so wrote something, because I want you to know that I'm learning from other people and passing it on. There are times when I will say I heard something in a sermon, a podcast, or heard something in a lecture that I was listening to, and I will tell you that because I want you to know that there are other things and there are people that I'm learning from. And I pass on the truth. You see, we teach others so that they can learn. It's what Paul writes in Titus chapter 2. He says, "But for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the young men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in all your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that any opportunity may be put to shame. Have nothing evil to say about us." Paul writes to Titus, and he says that you are to take the teaching that you have heard from me, the word of truth, and you are to pass it on to others, to the older men and to the older women. And the older men and the older women are supposed to then be able to take the teaching that you have given to them, and they are to be able to pass it on to the next generation. Everything that we teach, everything that we hear, everything that we learn is not just for us alone. We are to pass on that we have acquired and learned. So when somebody trains us, we are to train others. When somebody teaches us, we are to teach others. We are not simply supposed to be sponges that absorb everything. We are supposed to be sponges that absorb and then release what we've learned. And we are supposed to support those who go. We are supposed to support others as they proclaim the truth. Sometimes that means financially. So we as a church, support several missionaries who take the Word of God to different people. And we support them financially because we believe what they teach is true, and we believe that the message that they're sharing and the work that they're doing is good and effective. And so we support them. You support the work of the church here, or the work of the church that is your home church, financially because you believe that the message that is being shared is true, and you're standing behind them and encouraging them that way. Sometimes we support others prayerfully. Those people that we deal with in life, we may not support them financially as they take the gospel to other people, but we can pray for one another as we carry out the work that we are called to do. And so we prayerfully support people. Sometimes we write letters of recommendation. And sometimes that recommendation comes in a letter, but you know, for me, I've got a certificate on my wall in my office. It's a certificate of ordination. My home church in McCook, Nebraska. When I graduated from college, I asked them if they would be willing to stand behind me, and they would be willing to support me. And so the elders of that church asked some questions of me, and they sat down with me. They knew me already, but they sat down with me and even visited with me some more. And finally, at the end of this process, they said, "Yes, we will stand behind you." And so they all took this certificate of ordination, and they signed their names to that ordination certificate. And each of the elders was saying that we stand behind you. And you can take this certificate and show people that we have said we stand behind you because we believe the truth in what you're teaching. And sometimes it's with words of encouragement. As we encourage one another to do the work that we are called to do. That we encourage one another to fulfill the Great Commission, to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded. And we stand behind each other and we encourage each other as we're doing that work. You see, we're called to analyze everything that we read, everything that we hear, everything that we are taught as followers of Jesus Christ. We're not just supposed to come and let somebody speak at us. We're supposed to come and to let somebody speak to us. And we're supposed to interact with what they're speaking or what they're writing in such a way that we can analyze it. Because some of what we hear, some of what we read, some of what we see, we need to understand that there is error. And we're called to separate ourselves from error, but at the same time, we're called to correct and to rebuke people who are in error. And if we have a relationship with the person in error, like Priscilla and Aquila did with Apollos, we can correct that error. And then we're called to encourage everyone who is a follower of Christ in the sharing of the gospel, especially those who are busy in the work of the gospel. We're supposed to encourage each other to share the message, but there are others who are in the work of the gospel, like Timothy and Apollos and Titus, who Paul would encourage as they continued in the work, so that others could hear the truth about the good news of Jesus Christ, and other people could hear the message that Jesus is the only name through which we can have salvation. That the words that have been written in the Gospels are there so that we can know the truth and we can find our relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Apollos had never heard about the baptism of Jesus. And so Priscilla and Aquila told them the truth and taught them the truth that one enters into a relationship with Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And this morning, if you have never entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and it's a song of invitation, inviting you to come and begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. But this morning, maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. And we would love to do that, to encourage you in your spiritual walk. And so this morning as we finish our service, the elders are going to come forward. And if you want somebody to pray with you, they're going to hang around here at the end of the worship service. And if you need somebody to pray with you, they'll step aside to one of the side wings and have some private prayer with you this morning. Or if you just want to catch them out in the sanctuary, or out in the entryway or the fellowship hall when we're done, they'd love to pray with you. Won't you stand as we sing together? And if you need to make a decision or need somebody to pray with you, feel free to come forward this morning.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.